Today's program was brought to you by Bonnie Plants, bonnieplants.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to the main course on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm Alexis McLaughlin here with my debonair co-host, Phil.
Ooh, hi.
Philip Gilmore, hi.
Hi. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. Great. Good morning.
Yeah.
We always blow that. It's the afternoon.
It's the afternoon, and it's not Sunday, but that's okay.
But we're really excited. The reason it's the afternoon is because we had an opportunity to get Kim Reed on air with us, and
it's actually pronounced Kim Reed.
Yes. I thought it was exactly red. And even more exciting, we have the man himself, Patrick Martins, in studio.
When Phil and I are in studio together, it goes from heritageradionetwork.org to heritageradionetwork.org.
Well, glad I could be here for that one.
Yeah.
Kim is really excited that I'm she cleared her schedule.
That was a laugh from all three. I'm out. Peace out, everyone.
No!
Ending on a high note.
It's good to have you back, though, on the show.
Thanks for having me.
How was your vacation?
All of these, you like my new tats, my black ink tats? Yeah. I was away for a while, but I'm back.
Nice.
Yeah.
Popping in,
and I couldn't not be here. It's still, you know, the main course, and Kim was in, and I'd always wanted to interview Kim and people who do that job, which is very unique.
Well, we
job.
Haven't even introduced
oh,
yet.
Sorry. I couldn't miss it, so that's why I'm here too.
Thank you.
Kim is essentially, you are Joe Bastianich's right hand.
Yes. A good way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, for everyone who's not familiar with Joe Bastianich, he's half of the Bastianich and Batali restaurant group with Mario Batali. He's author of the Restaurant Man that he wrote with Mike Edison.
He's a celebrity, a TV celebrity now.
TV yes. celebrity
He can't walk
now.
Down Italy, a street in Italy
That's
without
very
being
true.
Accosted.
That's very true.
I have to give him props because MasterChef Junior is like pretty much my favorite show ever.
MasterChef Junior is a great show.
MasterChef Junior is so beautiful. I love it so much.
Yeah, the kids are adorable.
Yeah, the kids, they're so passionate and I love it.
Even the little ones that cut their wrists because they lost and stuff like that? Or is
I don't
everyone
think we've
a
had
winner?
Any of that happen yet, but it's come close.
With $300 knives.
Those knives are sharp. I mean, it's plausible.
Yeah.
Safety knives on MasterChef Junior.
So that's a lot. I mean, have we said everything? I mean, to understand what you do, we need to understand what Joe does. So he does...
Well, television has definitely been, you know, over the last couple of years, something big that's been happening for him, especially not just here in the U.S., but in Italy, as you mentioned. He's actually over there shooting the Italian version of MasterChef. He's done that franchise, too. So there's that. And also, I mean, something huge, a big game changer for he and Mario and Lydia is their partnership in Italy, in North America and South America. And that's definitely a big part of my work as well. So
that really has transformed the way people interface with food. I mean,
absolutely.
It's already been copied, in fact, and the French just opened a big kind of similar store. So what is so unique about it?
I think people really like the concept. I mean, before Eataly in New York, there really wasn't a place, at least that I was aware of, where you could go and you can eat and you can shop. You can take a glass of wine and walk around and do your grocery shopping. You can sample at the restaurants what it is exactly you're going to buy. And I think that's important. It's just we didn't really have that concept here. So, and it works. New Yorkers love it. Tourists mm-hmm. love it. It's a fun place to be.
It's busy. It's crowded. I mean, I don't think I've ever been in there without
It just, being a mob scene?
Well, yeah, but it, you know, it's not even a mob scene because everything's in its place, but it's just buzzing.
It is.
It's, I think, the third most visited indoor space in New York.
Yeah,
after
I heard
the Empire State Building.
And
it's
the
like
Met or the MoMA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable
that's pretty
because
impressive.
Those are, I mean, that, you know.
10,000 a day.
Yeah, kind of museums that are meant for people to just visit.
Sure, they're known all over the world, and I guess Italy is now too. But
it is a museum of Italian food, kind of.
In a way, but an interactive museum.
Teleport $20 out of your wallet just by walking in there.
That's probably true, too.
At least.
Just an idea, if they charge $2 at the door, boom.
Oh, Phil.
It probably wouldn't be the third most visited tourist destination in New York if we did that, but maybe.
It keeps the riffraff down.
You should get a few cents for that if it ever happens.
Please, please.
Yeah, 10 cents for every $2.
Well, no, he shouldn't. He should not get anything, but he should not be forced to pay the $2 if that's... policy gets them.
Well, you could do it like
you
could do it like validated parking. You could actually charge them $2, and then if you buy something, the $2 is taken off.
Ooh. That's if it gets really full.
Not my call, but I'll pass it on to the powers that be. How's that?
Yeah.
Kim's like, I don't know if we need that kind of revenue. I think Italy's doing all right without.
Yeah, we're doing well. We're lucky. I mean, it's very busy. It can be hard to walk around in there sometimes, but you know, there are definitely worse problems that you could have. So
now Joe is also on a reality TV show that funds restaurants.
Restaurant startup on CNBC.
And who does he do it with?
Chef Tim Love.
Tim Love
from Texas.
It is a fun show. I mean, I kind of want to try to run my steakhouse idea on that show if you can get me on. But that's not what this is about. It is a very interesting thing.
We'll put you in touch with casting for sure, Patrick.
So how many restaurants does that make Joe own now? Does he own the ones that he invests in?
No, not necessarily. I think it's more of just straight investments. I don't think that there's any ownership that's happened in anything thus far out of the three seasons. You never know in the future. But for Joe, B&B Hospitality Group has, I believe, 30 restaurants worldwide now. Yeah. And that's not including the 7 full-service restaurants that we have at Eataly New York. And I believe there's 6 in Eataly Chicago. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot.
Where's the next Eataly going to be?
The next Eataly, I know that we're going to be opening up in Boston and Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Time frame, I'm not quite privy to, but, you know, next couple of years.
Patrick, exciting. Patrick mentioned North and South America. So what?
Eataly Sao Paulo is opening up next week.
Oh, amazing.
In Brazil.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so much fun.
That's very exciting.
And then what other cities are on the docket?
I think that's really all that's in the works for now. L.A. and Boston.
L.A., Boston,
and Sao Paulo, which is opening next week.
Those are the three.
Yeah. There's a lot of interest from a lot of other places, but, you know, it's can only do so much at a time.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I wanted to ask you now, what are the challenges? I mean, you basically have to be somebody else in a way.
Yeah.
Because
that's very true. That is very true. I think that's a good way to describe a lot of what I do for Joe. In terms of challenges, I think it's just a big challenge that's always been from day one is handling the volume of work that comes in. And
What are your responses?
You just got overwhelmed.
She just remembered 18 things she forgot to do.
Actually, yes. Yeah. No, I'm overwhelmed.
Walk us through a day. What are your daily responsibilities?
Daily responsibilities? Well, the emails never stop, and we kind of live and die by emails. That's sort of the lifeline because there's a lot of business now in Los Angeles. There's business in Italy. So my inbox is getting flooded pretty much around the clock. So I have this bad habit of when I wake up in the morning, picking up the phone before I do anything and checking email. I think maybe every other day I've been successful at stopping myself from doing that and not really looking at it until I get into the office. But sometimes you just have to. So it's a lot. I come in and it really depends on what comes in. If Joe's in town and he's in New York, we generally have meetings or... You know, maybe he's on the Today Show and I'm helping him prep for that. So it could be any number of things. But basically, you never really know what your day is going to be like when you walk in the morning. Mm-hmm. It depends on what comes at you.
Are you mostly based in New York or do you travel with him as well?
Primarily, I'm based in New York. I actually...
Because it's his home base.
It's his home base for, I would say, about half the year. But that's sort of changing, too. I mentioned MasterChef Italy. Joe was nice enough to let me come and live with him for the summer, for 2 summers with him and his family in Milan. So I don't know many
nice
bosses
summer.
That would
that's
do that.
Nice.
That was a great summer. I mean, it's a lot of work. You're living with your boss, so you're never really off. But your boss is also, you know, to some extent your friend. And, you know, I've worked for him for about 14 years. Mm-hmm. So there's that aspect. And, you know, he can really be a lot of fun. So it was a good time. For sure.
Now, one of the things you must deal with all the time is favors. Can Joe
yes.
come here? Can Joe? Can I get a reservation?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Can you get Joe to call me back? I mean, how do you navigate
can you get Joe to call me
what
back?
To share and with him and what not to and who to be good to? And
you know, I think that's something that just comes over time. And for me, when I first started, I think I had a little bit of a leg up just because I had worked at Babbo for he and Mario part-time for... At that time, it was probably 8 years. So I already kind of knew some of the players. I already knew, you know, who was significant in that world just from being at their flagship restaurant for so long. So it made things a lot easier. And I try to not bother him as much as I possibly can just to give him whatever time he needs. But the nice thing about working for the company for so long is that I know everyone. You know, almost everybody started off at Babbo or at Otto, so there's a lot of other people I can call if I really need help and I get stuck with something. So we're a good little family at BBHG. It's nice.
a nice small community of 3,700 employees.
Well, we've gotten pretty big over the last 14 years, for sure.
Am I allowed to ask how many employees are part of the total...
BBHG, that's a good question. I want to say 2,000,
wow.
But that doesn't count. Well, that's also LA
yeah.
and Las Vegas. But I think Italy New York has 700, and I think it's about the same for Italy Chicago. So
wow.
It's getting bigger.
And what's your favorite dish? Not restaurant, just the favorite dish.
My favorite dish.
I mean,
dish.
To go, what restaurant would you go to have your favorite dish?
Babbo.
Babbo,
for sure.
Yeah.
I learned how to
Frank.
Eat at Babbo. I learned about food. So.
What yeah. dish? What's your favorite at Babbo?
The goose liver ravioli, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Frank, he's got, that's they say, the most difficult station in all New York food scene, all kitchens. The Babbo pasta kitchen. So many pastas. All going at once.
It's a tiny space. Actually, I think it might be even worse for Rebecca, who does pastry.
Mm.
It's about maybe 2 feet across. That's what she works with. Really, I don't yeah. think it's much bigger than that. It's tiny. And, you know, the covers that we sort of pump out every night, it's amazing that they do what they do.
How many people does Babbo seat?
Babbo seats 80?
80, yeah.
80, I think. I really should know that, but...
Now, back to the original line of questioning was, now, are there protocols that you need to look to, like how people are in different parts of the world, or do you just always go by gut? Like, this is the right way for Joe to respond to
this person? I guess
or
I,
that person, yeah.
I probably do go by gut, but I learned a lot by watching him.
Uh-huh.
You know, I can tell, you know, the way he would want me to respond to someone just by the way he maybe gives me their contact information. And at this point, it's been so many years. It's been 5 years since I took over this post, but like I said, it's probably been 14 since I first started with him. So I he doesn't really have to say much at this point. I know what he needs.
You're like radar.
Kind of, yeah.
I think we got to go to a quick break, and we'll be back in to speak more with Kim Reed.
Listening to Kill Me in the Summertime by Dead Stars. This is the main course on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Could an app be the answer to a better garden? Absolutely. It's the new free app, Homegrown with Bonnie Plants. Note, track, and photograph your garden's progress. Personalize your weather and reminders. Get variety info, grow guides, hands-free dictation, and more. The Homegrown with Bonnie Plants app, the sharpest tool in your garden. Download it free on the App Store.
Welcome back to the main course. We're here with Kim Reed, Joe Bastianich's right hand, talking a little bit more about what it takes to work really closely with someone and just in that environment and industry. We want to talk, something we didn't bring up before is, you know, Joe's mom, Lydia Bastianich, is a really recognizable name, an important name herself in food, and someone that they, you know, work together and partner. They have a restaurant now in Italy. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. It's called Orsone. They just opened it up last year. It's in Cividale del Friuli, and it's really their first venture in Italy. So that was very exciting for us to sort of help him through. We actually have some of our staff who formerly were at Del Posto come out, and Chef Eduardo Vallelobo is our executive chef. He's formerly worked under Mark Ladner at Del Posto. So it's exciting. I stayed there, actually. I took a vacation to get away from work. I ended up staying on the property for about a week, but it was great. I have a lot of friends there, and it's really amazing food, beautiful scenery, so...
I don't know if this is a silly question, but do you speak Italian?
I speak a little Italian. I learned for the job. Yeah. It became pretty necessary once you started doing TV over there. So, not great at it.
Can you write it?
I'm actually much better at reading and writing because I check his emails all day. And
I see.
Yeah. So, better at that than speaking for sure.
I bet that's really expanded your job just... being, you know, international, you know, going international.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think one of the nice things about working for Joe is he really, as he grew and expanded his interests and his endeavors, he really never withheld anything from me. And I think you can look at it as, well, he just threw everything at me, or you can look at it as he gave me the opportunity to get into pretty much everything that he was doing. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the opportunity, but I'm grateful that he had enough trust in me to give me things that he knew I had never done before. And to have someone like him have that kind of confidence in you is, it feels good.
Yeah.
It's inspiring. It's great.
Now, you also have the added challenge of having prior to work with Mario Batali's.
Yes.
Was it Pam Louie, and now he
has
Brian? Oh, yes.
Yep.
Because, I mean, sometimes they have to do stuff together, so there's the whole coordinating of the partnerships.
Yeah. Well, we all have really, really good teams now. Mario has Pam Louie, who's been with him for, I want to say she's been on board for 10 years. So she knows him very well. David Gruber is also part of his team. He was actually our Cracker Jack intern at Eataly when we opened Eataly New York.
Gruber's a Cracker Jack.
He is. He's great. I was a big advocate for when they were interviewing him, for hiring him. He's
What's
a great
a Cracker
kid.
Jack intern?
Just a really stellar intern.
Oh.
So yeah, somebody who's really great.
I never heard the term. They crackle.
They crackle with activity and
I think it's they come with a little prize
like
inside of them.
Maybe yeah. That's it. Like top notch. And Tess Koenig is also part of Mario's team. And we have two others now. We have a great Italian assistant, Laura Dotti. I think I'd die without her. Just got to a point we really needed some help over there. And Leah Cortez. and Leah Cortez also, who works with me in the New York office. So that's good. We have a good team.
How have your roles specifically changed? I mean, with the introduction of Eataly and the television, and you know, Joe wrote a book. I feel like it's just there's so many different avenues that have opened up since the time that you've been working with him.
I think, you know, when you say it all and you look at it all together, it seems overwhelming, and it you kind of wonder, how did you do it, or how did I do it, or how did Joe and I do it just ourselves without any other support in the office for so long before the others came on board? But you know, everything everything didn't really come at once. It definitely evolved over time, which was good. But you take everything as it comes. As I was saying earlier, you know, you never really know what's going to be hitting your inbox. You work with it as it goes. And I think it's easy to take on so many things when it's fun. And you're also working with your friends, and your partners are your friends. It makes it easy. It doesn't feel like work. But there was no real significant point where there was a major change. It all just sort of evolved.
Yeah. You know, it brings up another point of when you work so closely with someone, you have to be compatible with them, at, you know, in,
oh, sure.
as a friendship. Like Patrick and I,
we
work, can
closely
just finish
each other's sentences.
It's so second nature.
Third nature, yeah.
I mean, it's like the tweets.
Yeah, it's like the tweets
that he's writing, or I've already written, or something.
No, I think you make a good point. You have to. I mean, I talk to Joe probably more than I talk to anybody else in my life, because I talk to him all day, every day, even on the weekends. I mean, you have to like each other. I don't think that I would have this experience and think it was fun if I didn't like him or his endeavors.
But what are you talking to him about each day? I mean, I know you kind of touched upon this, but like, did they pick you up? Were you there, or you got this new email? I need to know how
sometimes,
to answer it.
Sometimes, all of that. I mean, we're just basically in communication every day as things evolve with the various aspects.
Do you
of
still use
Joe.
A travel agent? Like old school? Because you probably need one.
No, we usually don't use travel agents.
You just buy the
no.
They actually own a travel agency now. They actually opened up the...
That's the next venture,
it's
maybe.
It's in the taxi. Does maybe. Joe still own a taxi?
He does.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
He does.
He
That's very
medallion.
Cool.
Where did you grow
really?
Up?
I grew up all up and down the East Coast. I grew up in Southwest Florida for a time, North Carolina, and upstate New York.
Southwest
Sarasota.
Florida over there.
What
in
part
North
of Florida
Carolina.
Are you from?
Naples.
Fort Myers.
Oh.
There you go.
West Palm Beach in the house.
Nice. But New York City is the longest place that I've ever lived, and it was my choice. I actually started working for Mario and Joe about 6 months after I moved here. I came.
What
to
year was that?
It was 2000, and I started working for them January of 2001.
Oh, wow.
I kind of wandered into Babbo one day looking for a job just to...
You make yourself
you know,
sound so
pure
pathetic.
Money.
You're like, I walked out of the park, walked into Babbo. Yeah.
No, I literally wandered in there one day just looking for a job. I heard there was hostess positions open, and I was getting my master's degree in social work, and I actually did do that for 10 years mm-hmm. while keeping Babbo a couple of shifts a week.
Nice.
Yeah.
By the way, Joe still worked at the host desk of Babbo a few nights a week back in 2000, right? Or 1998, something
he
like that.
He and Mario were there often the first couple of years that I was there.
Yeah.
And they really knew everybody. They knew the names of the back waiters, their families. They were around a lot, for sure.
Yeah, it's just so funny. A lot has changed since then. You know, not all at once, but still, it's a big change.
Yeah. I remember when they were opening up Oto, and to me it felt like, oh my gosh, they have so many restaurants. And really, it was four. I had no idea what I'd be getting into later.
Wow.
Mark Ladner and Jason Denton were like aching over this decision to buy a big table at Lupa, you know, a big family style table. And they were like, we can't do it. This will end everything. And now they left.
Yeah.
Because they definitely couldn't afford it. But then now you're opening an Otto in Boston too, right? Because I know Dan Drohan spent some time there. Was that for Italy? Or
No, we did. That's separate. That's BBHG. And it's actually Babbo Pizzeria and Enoteca. It's modeled after Oto, though, but we call it Babbo. And it's doing really well. I haven't been able to get up there yet, but
do you
hopefully
think there's
soon.
A people or a population that would not be receptive to a B&B hospitality group thing like in Alaska or China? Or do you think it's just a concept that works?
I think it's a concept that works. I think that, you know, Italian food is beloved the world over, and they do it right. Mm-hmm. Wine program is always strong, and people like to drink too. So,
we even just got back from a big staff dinner at Becco, which is really one of the old ones pre Mario, and we ate so well, and it was so much fun. And Billy, the chef, was there, and yeah, they really do know how to do Italian.
Yeah, Billy's fantastic. They're a good team over there at Becco.
It's, you know, Italian food is one of those hard things because it's so prevalent in our culture, but in, you know, the wrong, or, you know,
not always
the American way to, you know, spaghetti and meatballs. It's it's hard to find a good Italian restaurant, or always was, to find like a good Italian meal that had authenticity. Yeah. And
I think Mario and Joe really do it right.
I actually lived in Italy for almost a year, and I didn't hear one person say prosciutto.
Prosciutto.
Oh, my God.
Mozzarella.
Yeah, I know.
It's so weird. Nobody...
Serena gets on our case. She's, I mean, from Italy. When we say prosciutto, she's like, it's prosciutto, and yells at us.
Or capagool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it is crazy. And then it's funny. These Italians come to America and solidify. They ossify into this. So they create this wall to really protect themselves and actually remain much more behind even the Sicilians and stuff who are kind of changing with the times. And yet... You go to a neighborhood in Brooklyn, and there's like everything is 1880s.
You know, because they just came and stopped, but they took the culture at the time that they came with
and stopped.
And
it.
But they didn't have anything to push it forward.
Yeah,
it's like I have a Cuban friends who learned Spanish from their parents, and so like their parents' idea of Cuba is just stopped whenever they left mm-hmm. Cuba, and the Spanish is very proper. And then they meet younger Cuban kids that are like, que bola, you know, said it, and they're just, you know, slang terms.
Know what to do.
Now,
yeah.
Will there ever be a French restaurant or a Japanese restaurant in the even in the Wild District? I know once they had Bistro Du Vent in Times Square, near Times Square.
You know, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's
I
funny.
Mean,
if it ain't broke, don't
know.
Fix it.
Exactly.
But I mean,
exactly.
There must always be a temptation to be like, we're going to do, well, I guess Italy offers you fish restaurants, right? Like Esca,
yes.
Crudo. You can do it
There's
all
There's a lot
time.
Of different things you can do with Italian cuisine. And we have Spanish, too. We have Casamono with Chef Andy Neusser. That's probably a bit of a departure for
Where
us.
Where is Andy
Neusser?
Yeah,
Casamono is great. Andy is one of the managing partners at Casamono and also the Terry Lodges.
Terry Lodges.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very, very
Formerly
cool.
Formerly of Babbo.
So what's next? Is there a website that people can follow openings and things like that? I mean, what's the best way to interface?
I think social media. Mario and Joe's social media outlets are probably the most current, most up to date. You know, they're always tweeting about something. So
Do you
it's
tweet
good to pay attention
for
to.
For him, too?
You know, he really handles Twitter on his own.
Really?
Yeah, he does. He does. I'm not a big tweeter.
tweet.
Facebook? Instagram? Do you
Facebook,
do all that
Instagram.
For him?
I mean, we help him with that, but he has a pretty big hand in it. He loves Instagram. He likes to do Instagram himself. You can see all his pictures of his shoes from Italy today. The Italian fans love his shoes, so.
I've got to keep showing it to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Reach down. Is there anything?
Did we have? Did you ask all your questions? This interview.
Do we want a rapid fire random questions now? Just to keep Kim on her toes.
Rapid fire.
Go for it. I'm ready.
So Joe plays music.
He does.
Do you like it?
I do.
What's the favorite song that he plays?
Favorite song that he plays is probably a song that was written by our friend Mike C, who he performs with regularly. Take Me Down. It's not my favorite. I can't think of my name of the favorite.
We'll take it.
We'll take it. Take Me Down. Take Me Down's a good one.
Do you know Mike Edison?
I do know Mike Edison.
Sharky.
Care to comment?
Yes.
Sharky's a great guy. Sharky actually has taught me a lot about music and writing. He's an interesting cat. He's a good guy.
Who's taught Joe's, Patrick everything he knows, actually.
Who's Joe's best friend?
Joe's best friend is a gentleman named Mark Flamino, who he grew up with, good friend of his.
Who's your best friend?
Yes.
Who's my best friend? It's actually a hard one. I have a lot of best friends.
Okay.
I have a lot of,
Okay. We don't want anybody getting their feelings hurt by
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Can't leave
them.
Anyone out.
No, great opportunity
the Earth.
To
the
name
Earth
one person and then just tell them to listen, you know.
Is it true a truck drove into the Mozza dining room
two weeks
ago?
It did. That was scary. We reopened last week. But that's something you certainly never saw coming.
Thank God no one got hurt. It was in the middle of the
night.
Actually,
one of our prep cooks did get hurt. One of our prep cooks went to the hospital, but he's out. I don't think it was anything that was super critical, but still, I mean, can you imagine?
Was that Bruce Jenner was driving it? Is that true?
Bruce Jenner was not driving it. Definitely not.
Bruce Jenner actually was working there. He was the bus boy.
# Bruce Jenner.
The bus person, I'm sorry. He was the bus person.
Where is your favorite place to work? What city? And Joe's, where would you both be? In Italy, if you could?
Outside of New York, obviously.
Yeah, I think Milan. I'd go back to Milan in a heartbeat. It's a great city. It's a lot of fun. It's a different perspective being there with Joe than being with him in New York, just because he is so famous, and it's a little strange, but it's also exciting. And I have a lot of Italian friends now, so I have a lot of respect for Italy. I like Milan.
Is it true that Carnivore's Manifesto was Joe's favorite book of 2014?
It was absolutely true.
Nice.
Absolutely
true. I knew
true.
It.
if you were going to call into work and play hooky, what excuse would you use that you think Joe might buy?
Honestly, I've never even so much as called in sick. I don't really need to call in. I mean, no matter what I said, he would know anyways. He knows me just as well as I know him.
But, are you a good liar?
I am, but definitely not to him. He knows me too well.
I really wouldn't have to.
He's known for being tough, but actually he's a pretty fair, he's a pretty cool boss. If I needed a day, he'd say, take it, have fun.
Well, if you read Restaurant Man, I mean, he's a much nicer guy than Restaurant Man leads you to believe. It's certainly the first few pages anyway.
Yeah, he is a really nice guy. I think he just, you know, the side that you see, you know, especially the MasterChef persona being really tough, you know, that's certainly an aspect of his personality. That's how he is when he's serious about business. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a whole other side of Joe that's a lot of fun.
With something we wouldn't expect, but that's, you know,
something
part of his personality or part of his routine.
I
still see him, even if he's in an Armani suit, if he's in one of his restaurants and there's garbage on the floor, he will bend over and pick it up. If a table needs to be bussed, he will.
He will yell at the busboy.
No. If there's no busboy around at the moment, he will do it himself. I mean, obviously not at Del Posto, but, you know, he's really very down to earth. He's still very much, you know, that host mentality. Hospitality is, I think, a big thing for him, also for Lydia as well. I think it's just very much instilled in him. And
will he play the piano at Del Posto if the pianist is sick?
No, but he would play guitar.
He would.
He would play guitar. He'd bring his band, The Ramps, and they would play that for sure.
The Del Posto pianist is the greatest musician in the world. You go in there and you can just hear, like, old hair metal covers, like, done, like, really elegantly. You're having, like, a 4-star Italian dinner, and it's just,
how,
like,
do I know that tune?
Yeah.
What is that?
Van
oh, that's
Halen.
Metallica.
So his, I know he runs races now and is super in shape, and he's lost a lot of weight over the years. Has that changed your eating habits? And does he still party and drink a lot too much sometimes?
Well, he does like wine. I think he does everything in moderation. He's pretty good. I think it would have to be, I mean, he's so busy. He doesn't really have time to, you know, indulge a lot. No one does. You're always on the go. In terms of changing my eating habits, no, not really. I mean, I've always been lucky since I moved to New York. I've been affiliated with this company and a lot of friends who are chefs, and let's face it, I'm too busy to overindulge.
How often do you eat out, and how often are you, you know,
out
dining
and, in restaurants?
Yeah, that's one of the things about being in the industry. You tend to be
not as
well fed.
You do, but it's not always dining out as you would as a guest. You know, sometimes it's behind the scenes when you're in the kitchen picking at this, you get a taste of that. Dining out, though, for me now, probably only 3 or 4 times a week.
Oh, yeah, that's
we're
it.
What percentage do you get off the check at Babbo, and will you take us with you?
Yeah. That is a lot. 4 or 5. I mean, 4 times a week is a lot. I mean, most people don't do that. I've done that for many years of my life.
Well, I mean, this is New York, where that's actually pretty standard.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a 3-course, you know, 4-course dinner at Del Posto. It's usually something quick at one of the bars somewhere. But you have to get out. You have to try new places.
I have a friend in LA who's never been out at all, ever, not once.
Are we going to visit them?
Yes. We have to go to their house. But this has been really interesting. Of course, Heritage Foods exists because of the B&B Hospitality Group. At the time, it was just Lupa. Mark Ladner, Mario, Joe, they invested in us. I remember when I walked into Babbo the first time with the, not for my first time, but with our almanac, this almanac I produced in 2004. Joe took it and then, you know, showed it to Mark. And the rest happens. So this radio station is actually, you could say, a B&B creation, you know, kind of off on the sides. But
nice.
So, yeah, they're definitely founding sponsors of us and therefore the station. So
great.
Yeah.
Yay.
Thanks for all the business. I mean, not that it's you, but I mean, we appreciate it, and so do our farmers.
Sure.
And there's that side to Joe's group, too.
Yeah, that's
keeping
huge.
Keeping agricultural communities going.
They were really, there was a lot of foresight that went into investing, you know, with you in the start. And because it really, without that, I mean, Heritage Foods would not be here. And just to see something and taste and be like, this is a good product. Like, yeah.
And even today, because of all their restaurants, they could probably cycle through whole animals and just divide them up to the restaurants. They use that much product. They, because the cuisines
we're
of Italy are so
now,
different.
We're probably losing everyone.
No,
but, yeah.
But I mean, it's true. They could,
this is how Patrick and I spend our afternoons.
I'm like, are we losing B&B? No, but they choose
no whole
to
animal
stay
butchery
through,
and talk about.
They stay loyal to their team, and that's great. I've always sensed that being a very loyal group.
Very, very
to
loyal.
To each other and everybody.
To each other. I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, started before me or started around my time, and maybe they're not at Babbo, but they're off at Del Posto, or maybe now they're working at Italy. So I think that Mario and Joe have a knack for, you know, choosing like-minded people, but they also really invest in people that they like. I'm probably a really good example of that, giving me the opportunity to take over his office when I wanted to leave social work. Mm-hmm. I was just a hostess at Babbo. It wasn't really, you know, terribly important to the company. And, you know, but they've done that for a lot of people. They really do look out for people that they like, and it's reciprocal.
Mm. Very cool.
Yeah. I have one last question.
Yeah.
Your job, it just, you know, it sounds like there's just like a lot. It's coming at you all the time. But what is that one thing that keeps you in it and keeps you there?
I would say the people. Joe, for sure. But everybody that sort of makes up Joe's world. Everybody at Eataly, everybody at BVHG. Again, when you work with people that you like, it doesn't feel like work. It's actually, this is the first job I've had where I don't think there's been one day where I've ever dreaded coming into the office, really never. And that's probably why I've never played hooky or called in sick. Not that I could get away with it. It is fun. And I think that the people really make it what it is.
Great.
Very cool. Well, thanks for coming on.
Thank you
thanks
for having me.
To Bushwick.
Nice
to
great.
Meet you.
I love Bushwick. I love Roberta's. This has been great.
And you got to eat at his restaurant one of these days.
Sushi.
Momo's
one
sushi
of the,
shack.
Yeah,
it's
or
right
hi,
across
hello.
The street.
It's
absolutely. I love sushi, so I will definitely be there.
Great.
Yeah. I check out the new Hi Hello.
It's called Momo Sushi Shack.
And Hi Hello is a new place off the Jefferson train, and that has got like four of the best sandwiches.
Yes. In the world.
Outside the B&B restaurant group.
Yeah. Of course.
In the world, outside.
And one of the best hot dogs in New York City, which is...
saying something.
That's saying something. I mean, I consider myself a connoisseur of fine hot dogs.
Connoisseur.
we'll catch you guys this time next Sunday. Thanks for tuning into the main course.
Okay. Bye.
The theme song for the main course is I Never Had by Breedlove and Chew Fu. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.